Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I got to tell you, I can't get this report out of my head. The fact that yesterday, this is when they decide to drop this Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction report that basically says, from the beginning, we were doomed. There was never any hope here. It was always going to end like this. And we did it anyway. And we did it for 20 years. And there, interestingly enough, people now calling that I know to go back for another 20 years. I'll tell you, I give Joe Biden credit. It's a bad situation for him to have been in, but it was time to cut ties. And here to share some thoughts on, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Biden is to blame in all this. And the former guy would have done a better job, but here to share some thoughts, I've asked our good friend Jared Yates Sexton to come talk with us. Jared's a political analyst, host of the Muckrake podcast, also author of American Rule, How a Nation Conquered the World but Failed Its People. Jared, thanks for taking time for us.
How are we doing, Rick?
I'm as good as I can be in this moment. You know, the reality is I'm looking at these horrible pictures from Afghanistan. I'm looking from these desperate people who we know are going to be slaughtered at some point in the future and go, there was just no way to avoid this.
Yeah, first and foremost, just to get it on the record, it's an absolutely awful situation. But this is what happens when you have an awful situation that has gone on and on and on, that never should have happened in the first place, that has been built up on lies, inhuman cruelty, exploitation. I'm with you, man. I feel like Joe Biden showed some political courage by pulling out of Afghanistan, understanding that he was going to take a loss here, that he was going to be seen as the president who pulled us out of there after one president after another wanted to do it, but was afraid of the optics or how people were going to respond to it. Donald Trump painted him into a corner to try and get reelected president. And he went ahead and he stuck with his guns. He said, we're leaving. And what did we learn? 20 years of wasted resources, lives, treasure, influence, political capital and trust, and all for a group of people who had no interest in what we were trying to sell them. It was time to leave, and it was time to leave for a long time.
But here's the thing. Here's where my mind goes. And this is a lot of things that I look at. I think it worked exactly as it was meant to work. I think what happened in Afghanistan was exactly what was supposed to happen. This is what corporate America wanted. In fact, they want another 20 years, another 40 years. They want us there forever so they can continue to keep their snout as deep in the trough as they can possibly get to fleece us for as much as they possibly can get.
Yeah, let's be very clear about that. The Bush administration and all of the neoconservatives and all these Straussian people, all they care about is having a story, the war on terror. Right? Trying to make America, quote unquote, safe, which they couldn't do in the first place. And all that ever did was hid the fact that they were pushing for more resources, more materials, another stronghold in the Middle East, or two strongholds. You might as well go ahead and get two birds with one stone, right? And who got rich off of this and who benefited from this? Military contractors, people who went over there and got the resources, whether it's oil or, I don't know, heroin. And there was a ton of shady dealings that happened in this entire situation. And who suffered because of it? The same people who always suffer, the poor people who have to go over and fight these people's wars.
Yeah,
and you're exactly right. This happened the way it was supposed to happen, and it carried out the way it was supposed to.
And you wonder why we have an opioid addiction crisis here, because we were buying all the poppy and all the crops from the Afghanis because we were going to give them industry. We were going to whip a little industry on them, and we were going to help them become like us, which was never, let me repeat, never going to happen.
No, it was never going to happen. And on top of that, it is the height of hubris, is what it is. What we're dealing with right now is the collapse of a multi-generational lie of American exceptionalism. The idea that if we go over and we wave the flag in front of the right people and we tell them about blue jeans and rock and roll or whatever nonsense these people are talking about, that somehow or another, they're just going to change and want to be like us. That's narcissistic and it's delusional. And by the way, like this entire thing where it collapsed so quickly is because we were delusional about what we had done in the first place. These people who carry out the process of empire and the pursuit of empire, they have no idea what they're actually doing. They fail constantly. And it's all based on that American exceptional hubris that makes them think they can go in and build up a state, change people's minds. We were there for two decades, and everybody over there was just waiting on us to go so they could get out from underneath our thumbs.
No, and the weird thing is, I saw this number that said, you know, 25% of the people who are alive today in this country were born during this era. And you got to wonder, you know, what percentage of the people alive in Afghanistan? Is it 40%? Is it 50%? Because they don't live, you know, they don't live that long. What percentage? You had a chance over 20 years to possibly change hearts and minds and didn't.
You know, and what drives me crazy about this, you know, I'm old enough of a dog that I remember back in 2001, 2002, 2003, going out and protesting against this. Anybody who went into this with an open mind and understood what was happening knew that the war on terror was a fraud and it was a crime against humanity. And in this case, we told everybody, you cannot bomb people into trusting you. You cannot kill families and groups of people and expect them to suddenly want what you're selling. We were oppressors in this situation. And again, they were waiting on us to leave. There was no interest whatsoever in American quote unquote values, which we betrayed every single day that we were over there. This was an absolutely fated mission in terms of the stated goals. And all it was for, going back to what you were saying, profit, resources, materials, and having some sort of a political, geopolitical foothold that we could have. That was all this was.
Yeah, but this, again, this isn't new. I mean, you go back and you read Smedley Butler's piece, War is a Racket, and, you know, almost 100 years ago, he was saying the exact same thing we were talking about how corporate profiteers have made, you know, billions off of the lives of soldiers while they're handing out ribbons, corporate America's lining their pockets.
No, I mean, and that's the history of America, unfortunately. You know, I was doing research on the new book and I was reading about McKinley falling to his knees, talking about the Philippines and God told him to go over there. And meanwhile, it's about markets, resources, and oppression. It's always about this higher value that we always put up there, but it's always about the imperial pursuits. It's about the material conditions of going over and finding the things that are going to make the corporations and the wealthiest Americans more and more powerful and more wealthy. It absolutely is a racket. And it always has been.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, we wanted this. I blame us for this because overwhelmingly, and as you said, you remember that time pretty well. We wanted this. Overwhelmingly, the Poles wanted it. We wanted blood. We wanted retribution. We wanted payback. We wanted Bin Laden's head on a silver platter. And then we missed our opportunity. Conveniently.
Yeah, and we had that deal. We could have been out of there in 2001. And, you know, I have a hard time. You know, I teach college, and I'm always writing and trying to talk to younger people. It's really hard to express to them what America was like in 2001 and how hell-bent we were on going over and not just destroying people, but also furthering American empire. We needed to show that the wounded animal could still fight. And, you know, there is a direct line from what happened then to the madness that we are dealing with now. I mean, this isn't just about American empire falling in on itself and the humiliation of what's happening in Afghanistan. We are still living in the consequences of these decisions and what was unleashed in America. Yeah. So this is going to be something we're going to be dealing with for a very, very long time and probably one of the most consequential mistakes that we've ever made.
No, and I would argue that it even goes even further back than 2000. You go back into the late 70s, you know, because during the 2000s, people were like, well, why do they hate us? You know, what have we done to make them hate us so much? You go, well, you know, Afghanistan was attacked and invaded by the Russians, the Soviets for 17 years, and we did fund the Taliban or the Mujahideen then. We did fund Bin Laden. We created that monster that eventually turned around and bit us in the behind. But hey, don't worry about that. Just go shopping.
Yeah, you should probably just go out to America's malls and not really worry about the fact that we're in over 100 countries right now torturing people and, you know, paying some really ugly people to do business for us. But that has been what America has been post-World War II. We have continually espoused this idea of liberty and democracy and freedom while we have partnered up with one dictator after another who suppresses the left, takes down any sort of a labor strife that could possibly get in the way of corporate profits. And we've gone from one country after another to deal with some really, really ugly situations. And this is the consequence of imperialism. It's saying one thing, saying you're for liberty and equality, and then meanwhile, trafficking millions of dollars, overthrowing leaders, you know, creating coups wherever you go. It's a really ugly track record that we have. And that's why we've arrived at the place that we are now.
Yeah. I go back to this again, this report, this, you know, lessons we need to learn report from this special inspector. And, you know, my mind goes to this place. Will we ever learn? Is it possible for the American people to learn from this lesson? Or are we going to be stuck in this binary choice of it's Biden's fault or it's Trump's fault without even talking about Bush or anybody else? Is it possible? I mean, you're the educator. Do you have any hope in this?
I have to tell you, America's really bad at learning from history. I mean, we'd rather bury it in the backyard and forget it's back there. I mean, to be honest, I have been so disturbed by the coverage of this. We haven't talked about the Bush administration in our media. We haven't talked about the fact that Trump signed this deal. Somehow or another, Donald Trump has gotten off scot-free entire situation. Our intelligence community has just gotten a pass for getting everything wrong. Again. Our military got everything wrong in this situation. And meanwhile, this situation that we're involved in is shades of one mistake that we have made after another, and we just continue to jump headlong into it. What I'm afraid of is that empires that are wounded, as we saw after September 11th, they jump back into imperialism to show themselves as being strong. I'm afraid that the reaction is going to be among the Republican Party. They're going to howl. They're going to, you know, beat the shields of jingoism and try and show that we can go into a country and shove people around. So no, I'm unfortunately pretty sure that we're not going to learn from this situation, even though this is the moment. If we're going to do it, we need to do it now.
Are you surprised by the reaction to what's going on in Afghanistan, considering the fact that for, you know, what's it been, 15 years now, popular polls are gather the sheep and get the flock out of Afghanistan? In fact, you know, when Obama was elected, overwhelmingly people wanted to get out, but the Republicans bullied him into staying because they didn't want to look weak. And this is where I give Biden credit, man, because he could have done that. No, we're gonna dig in deeper. We're gonna send more people. We're gonna save those people that were unsavable from the beginning. Do you think?
Well, I think right now the moment that we're in is the initial shock of it and the grotesqueness of what we're seeing, like these images and videos. But I also think it's a side effect of the fact that our media is unbelievably cozy with the military. We have one anchor after another who was embedded with the military for years, and they just bring on generals and, you know, these flacks to come on and say whatever they want. I actually think what we're going to see in the long run is that people are going to support this. People wanted to get out of
there.
Absolutely. And in fact, Americans kind of tuned out of Afghanistan, and they were told to. That was by design. This empire building is supposed to happen in the background, and you're never supposed to think about it. And I would say to the working class people of America, do you want to send your kids over there for Afghanistan when they don't want you there and they don't want to fight this war? Like, why are we continuing that churning for people who don't want what's being foisted upon them? So I really think in the long run, the Republican Party is going to react to this, and the media will get tired of it. They'll move on to whatever happens next week. And I think the American people are probably right in Joe Biden's corner on this. I think in the long run, this is going to be beneficial for him.
Yeah, I think he made the right choice. And again, you know, I come back to this report that said this was doomed from the start. And I'd said years ago, this is going to be the natural outcome. We're going to be running out of there like we saw. I mean, it's sad. It's disgraceful. It's you know, I want nobody ever in that kind of a situation, but it was predictable.
Yeah, and like, let's be really honest and bold about this. Nothing that happens from empire is pretty. It's inhuman. It's cruel. And it doesn't matter if you're going in, you're in the middle of it, or you're coming out. It's always unpleasant and cruel. What we're watching right now was inevitable from the moment that we went in there and tried to tell people what they should do. And, you know, there's no good answer. People say to me, should we have stayed? Should we leave? And I say, no, my answer is we should have done it in the first place. That's the correct answer, is we should have avoided it like so many of us told them that they should have in the first place. Nothing good was going to come out of this. Whether we stayed, whether we went, it was going to be ugly either way.
See, for me, the lesson in this is go back and read Smedley Butler's War is a Racket, because this is not new. This is tried and true. It happens over and over and over again. So if the lesson that could come out of this is, you know, go back and maybe read the Eisenhower speech about the military industrial complex, maybe learn a little of that history and make sure we don't allow corporate America to push us into this. Because you said a second ago, it's interesting how cozy our media is. I had tweeted out a picture of a Politico article that had, you know, presented by Lockheed Martin. And you go, wait a second. You're bashing on Biden with this article presented by Lockheed Martin, a defense contractor? Really? And you're doing that boldly? That's our media.
Well, and I think you and I both know what's going to happen from this. For all the crocodile tears that the media is crying over the military and how they've been treated, this is going to balloon the defense budget. They're going to say, look what happened in Afghanistan. We have to build up our military. We have to build up our strength. Look at what happened to us. We have to throw more money after it, which is what they have always done. They cannot lose for winning, and they cannot win for losing. It is a constant giant racket. And when you realize this is about lining the pockets of the military-industrial complex, everybody from, you know, research on up, this is what this has always been about from the very beginning. It's not about making us safer. It's not about making the world safe for democracy. It's about making some people a lot of money.
Yeah, and it gave the Chinese state media an opportunity to throw a jab at us here in the U.S., joking that the power transition in Afghanistan is even more smooth than the presidential transition in the U.S. That's what it got us.
Oh, man, it's just gross all the way around. And, you know, it's one of those things. And I just want to go ahead and say, because, again, I was out there in the street in 2001 and through three. We cannot forget that the Bush administration did this to us. They put us in this position to be laughing stocks. They put us in the position to hurt people. They put us in a position where we went years with trillions of dollars that we could have used to make Americans' lives better. And we could have gone after climate change. We could have completely revamped our infrastructure. We could have had universal health care. And what did they do? They spent all of that money, all of that time, all of that goodwill. And here we are, weakened and vulnerable. And we have militarism and authoritarianism around every single corner. And they did this to us, and that's the result.
And we can thank Bush, we can thank Cheney, Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, all down the line. All of them are responsible for this. Jared, I appreciate the time. It's always great having you on. Always great having your insight. Thanks so much.
Thanks, buddy.
Jared Yates Sexton. Make sure you check out his podcast, the Muckrake Podcast. Also, pick up the book. I highly suggest grabbing the book that will get links out. American Rule, How a Nation Conquered the World but Failed Its People. And I would argue this is a perfect example of that. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.